No, man, I'm seriously asking, what is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast, got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast on your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergasted. Our smarts, not super vast, still much better than a newscast. Mr. Live Show, rebroadcast the Tangent Podcast. Never outclassed, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny, bringing the schmears. Rock for rookies, represent. Let's get the show started, man. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast.
Line of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside Mike. I am Johnny and you are with us during the 10 Days of Atonement, that magical time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur where you just feel bad about yourself. No, not really.
I honestly have been having a very difficult time even thinking about it. Today, 2 days ago, Ellie was telling the kids, hey, you gotta say that special thing for Eser Yimei Tshuva, the 10 Days of Atonement. And I was like, whoa, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just way over my head this year.
I've had a very interesting test, which I failed at, mostly until today, in that there was a very spicy...
First day's the hardest thing.
Right. A very spicy piece of... And we're not going to get into it, but a very spicy piece of
a macaroni!
Of Cleveland Jewy gossip dropped yesterday, or 2 days ago, courtesy of the Cleveland Jewish News. And it's just been something that's been very easy to talk about. Mm. And so
goes down smooth.
Well, it doesn't really. But anyway, the other day I was talking to one of my friends back there. He's like, hey, you know more about Torah than I do. Technically, this is all like Lashon Hara that we're talking about, right? I'm like, well, it fits every definition that I've ever had explained to me, so yes. And then we were talking about it some more. We're like, yeah, we should probably dial it down a little bit and let whatever happens, happens. So, it's so spicy. That's the thing. Like, you, all you want to do is try to talk about it constantly.
You definitely can't find it using the tons of information that you gave about it. Cleveland.
Oh, I'm not going into it any more than that.
It's out there, though.
It's out there. So, we're broadcasting to you together. Technically, we're locked down, but we're allowed to be together in groups of however many. And then they said, this is going to be... that. But we're about to have a complete shutdown through the holiday of Sukkot, which is... And they go, well, it's going to be harsher than the last lockdown. Okay, the last lockdown, you couldn't go to the grocery store... Unless there were like three people already in the store. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be that. So what are they talking about?
How many times a day are you sitting around in your home, at your work, in front of your computer, and you're just going, my God, this is the pandemic? I'm just doing what I always do. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not complaining about my circumstances because
I've been...
No, I'm
just like saying it's so weird. It's so weird. Hey, you remember the terrible times of the pandemic? Yeah, that was sad. I put out some good episodes of Tangent.
Right. So that's the same thing like that my dad was telling me early on in the situation, because as you all know, my father got remarried last year, and he said that he's going to think very fondly about this time because his wife and him have been just like going on day trips and spending all this great quality time together. So for them, it's been a great experience. Not that they wouldn't like to have a normal life back, but yes.
Yeah. No, I'm setting up the
right. So we're doing a little bit. We're working on some logistics as we're talking, because for whatever reason, we decided to start about 6 minutes early today, just because we were ready. Which is a weird thing. Basically, because we do the show bi-weekly, that means that the weeks that we do the show are the weeks where my daughter is with her mother, which means I don't have anything to do on Thursday nights, which means I get here much earlier or whenever I feel like it. So it allows us time to kind of do the show a little bit earlier in the evening. I don't know that that is such an important story to share with you, but I felt...
I just want to remind everybody that this is Tangent Podcast, that if you don't like our faces, you can check us out on Mixlr.com/maximum-mic. I know that there's at least two people out there, and this conversation tonight is going to be one for the books. Which books? The books of all of our average episodes. So try to get that out there. Share it as much as you can. All right? I can sense it coming. This is going to be one of our... Oh, it was an episode of Tangent.
There was a great clip. It's one of my favorite Conan O'Brien jokes ever.
Share, my lovely.
He had Meredith Vieira on, and she was supporting the 1,000th episode of the show The View. You know the show The View?
I do. What's her face is in it?
There's a lot of people.
Sister Act.
Yeah, she was on it for a long time. But anyway, hey, what's up, David?
What is her name? Glad to have you.
Whoopi Goldberg?
Whoopi Goldberg.
So what the main broadcaster host of it for a while was a woman named Meredith Vieira. Meredith Vieira is, they were celebrating their 1,000th episode. And he's like, wow, that's such a great thing. And I'm so happy for you, whatever. And she goes, well, hey, Conan, you've done a bunch of episodes of your show. He had been on the show for a decade at the time. And he goes, and he's like, yeah, whatever. And somebody yells from off screen, or he hears through his, in his ear, whatever. They tell him the number. It was higher than 1,000. And she's, and they, everybody starts applauding. And he goes, if you look closely, 11 of those episodes are pretty good.
I think
honestly that we could... That we could probably go back through our archives.
We could.
And I think that we could probably come up with at least 11 episodes that we are actually very, very proud of.
There are a couple of episodes that we did. Like, definitely in season 3. But those ones were the ones that where we would come off of an episode of Tangent, we'd leave the office, we'd go downstairs, and then Johnny would go, "We're changing people's lives."
Well, we had, that was when we had something special here. That was when we had the strongest listenership that we ever had.
Sure,
also.
Absolutely.
And sharing on Facebook back in those days, a few years ago, was a little bit more...
Free.
Lenient. Yeah, so we were able to, like, really get some good bumps. Like, we could share on the...
Secret Jerusalem,
yeah,
Secret Tel Aviv.
Yeah, and they wouldn't immediately ban us or whatever just for doing that. Anyway, so Rosh Hashanah came and went. That was a unique and different type of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
How was yours?
Okay, so I'll start with how mine was. I went to the 6:30 minyan at the Rusty Shul down the block, and there were 20 people inside. The whole shul, Johnny, was like divided up by these giant plastic sheets all the way across. So the whole area was divided up into four areas.
I'm just sharing.
The bima itself was wrapped around as if it had its own curtains. And then there was a plastic straight down the middle of the bima to separate the reader from the dude getting the aliyah. And the gabbai, the announcer, he's on the outside. And the only person who's really mixing was the guy who was going around to give everybody the piece of paper to say when they have to open up.
To say when your kibud was.
Yeah, yeah. But like 6:30 in the morning is a very uncomfortable time for me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I take care of my needs in the morning. And usually I'm near a bathroom or whatever's going on. And now I'm terrified of, toilet corona. So the whole 6:30 in the morning thing was a little tricky for me, and I was very worried about it. Now, you know, and you have listened to the show before, so you know, and I'm talking to all you lovely people out there, that when I get nervous, that's what really clenches, like, my stomach, the being afraid of going on buses.
This is a known thing for people around the world.
Some people, just the idea, the bus is coming, and I'm going to be on a bus for an hour and a half without a stop, and your stomach goes, oh my god. I don't get to use a bathroom.
But stress does affect my...
So for me, that's the stress. Just being able to not be near a bathroom.
Oh, not being able to...
To go to the bathroom, that's what stresses me out, which causes my stomach to want to go to the bathroom. It's a vicious circle.
What a tangled web we weave.
So the whole show, so they gave me a keyboard. You know, they asked me, they're like, please open up the Aaron Kodesh, the, did you say that in English? The Tabernacle Vestibule?
No,
Vestibulus Tabernaculus?
I guess you would call it the Ark.
The Ark?
Well, yeah. It's not the Ark of the Covenant.
That's, yeah, I don't like saying that.
It's just the Ark.
The Ark? No, there's no way that's what they call it. There's a rabbi who, I watch his...
If you guys know the English word for the Aron HaKodesh...
So we can laugh at each other for not knowing
and it. It's not Ark, let us know.
Okay, so there's this guy who I watch on Facebook. He's a rabbi, but he's a reformed rabbi. All of his posts...
We got the two things that we've both been saying. We got Tabernacle, thank you, Jay, and we got Ark, thank you, David. Okay.
It's a Tabelnark.
It's a Tabelnark. Okay. It's an
Archicle. Archinavel.
No, I like Archicle.
Archicle. Oh. That's actually the name of the new book by the guy who wrote Ready Player One.
Oh, I thought it was by the guy who wrote Snowpiercer.
No, it's a guy. He gets stuck in an arcade game, but it's really a book.
And it's frozen.
So what are we talking about? What were we talking about?
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that's very not specific.
Yeah, right, because he got a kibud.
Right, so I got the kibud, and the minute that the dude handed me the petek, I was like,
You're like,
but I got it. And then I was like looking for it, how far until it is, kind of trying to figure out you got. We're like 2 minutes away from starting Musaf. It's the second kibud after Chazar HaShat starts.
Oh, so you had an hour.
No, like, no. They were...
Oh, the Chazar HaShat, the repetition.
The first tabernacular.
No. The cantor's repetition.
Yeah. The cantor's repetition was right, like, it was the second opening after it started.
Okay.
So I had to daven, so I'm doing my best to do my focusing, but it's there. It's there at the back of my mind.
Like, you can't go for a little while.
And I was already feeling like, you know, they say you shouldn't be praying if you have to go to the bathroom, you should stop, and I'm like...
Lucky for you, the early ones aren't very long. You shouldn't have been up there for very long.
No. So I made it through... And as soon as I stepped up the steps to open it, I was fine.
Oh, okay.
Just like getting in front of a classroom. You know, to make the step, oh, I open the door, all right, let's get this party started.
Right.
So I come down. The second day, I go back there. The guy comes up to me, here's your cube, and I said, no, thank you. I had the best davening I've had in a year, man.
Because you focused?
Because
Were they going fast?
We started at 6:30 and we were done by 9.
That's amazing. 2.5 hours is Shabbos morning on a long-ish day.
Yeah, it was great. Everyone did a good job, even with the...
Was there singing and stuff?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I had it stuck in my head for days. I really like the old-timey-wimey, the shul high holidays tunes.
Yes.
Because they like instill you with, like, it's like... When you hear certain songs, like, really, because when you hear certain songs, you're like, that song makes me want to party, that song makes me hungry, that rumba gets me thinking about childhood, but those ones just make you like, oh, something important's happening. It's important. That's what it makes me feel. I'm like, I know this drill, it's time to be serious.
That's like Kol Nidre.
It's which is which tune, just in case I don't get to go to an actual...
No, that's Maariv. That's the evening prayer. Yeah, that's a great tune.
It's a good tune. I like it.
I've heard it always feels
in Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes they'll do like a part of it for a second as a part of another song,
yeah,
kind of like a remix.
Yeah,
and it always bothers me because I want to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, that melody specifically. I've had that melody explained to me that it goes like way back into history. That melody specifically.
And it's been used by other cultures?
I don't know about other cultures, but it is one of the ones that is kind of universal for all sects of Jews. Right? Like, for example, do you know another tune for Eshet Chayil?
No.
Everybody sings the same Eshet Chayil tune. It's interesting.
That's cool. Before I forget, which I've already forgotten, I wanted to talk about... Oh, I wanted to tell you that the only thing after I turned down that keyboard that was nangling at the back of my mind was you.
That you don't turn it down. But you did one the day before, and by turning it down the second day, you provided an opportunity for maybe somebody else who hadn't had one to have one. So that's okay.
I mean, there were only 20 people there, so I feel like they had covered everybody.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, mayor kept getting lavy.
Well, lavies are few and far between.
I've told you why. Never mind.
Oh, here, Dovid says that his... Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh,
what?
We're also
say what?
Dovid said it was from our friend Dovid who told me that his rabbi did the research and says that melody goes back to the Second Temple. You did have a rant. You said you wanted to rant tonight. You
I
want to
did,
rant now?
But my notes are on the phone.
Oh, snap. So you're going to have to rant.
I
Well, wait, before you rant, let's finish talking about Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, I wanted to finish talking about what's her face?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
No, the sister act.
Whoopi Goldberg.
I want to talk about Whoopi Goldberg.
Why?
Are you a fan of Whoopi Goldberg?
I don't...
Have you seen more than two Whoopi Goldberg movies?
I've seen...
I don't think she's ever been a subject of our conversation.
Okay.
And I feel
obviously
like
I've watched all of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Who's like a bartender full of wisdom.
Because
awesome.
She's from a race of beings that are ancient beyond belief that were destroyed by the Borg. And she's like one of the last ones of her race.
One
left.
Of. Of course.
There's a couple, but there's...
Of course, there's Whoopi Goldberg girl, Whoopi Goldberg boy.
Oh, just... No.
Whoopberg.
Goldie Whoopberg? No.
Superboy, Supergirl.
Okay, so... Oh, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And then the bottled city of Guinan. Yeah. I understand.
The Goldbergs.
The fortress of... Yeah.
The Goldbergs.
Yeah, the Goldbergs. So, and then I've seen Sister Act, obviously. I don't know that I could tell you another movie of hers.
See Sister Act 2?
No.
Did you see that movie where they play with, where they're like a singing group? I don't know. I feel like I saw so many movies with her when I was a kid.
Yeah, she was big in the 80s and 90s.
But for what?
She was a comedian, and then she became... She's got an EGOT.
What's an EGOT?
She has an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Wow. And she was in, what's it called? Tic-Tac-Toe. Hollywood Squares for forever.
Oh, well, I never watched that show.
Okay. Well, I thought that was fun. Okay, I was just... Sister Act was a big movie for us, like, in my family. We liked that movie a lot.
Right. Well, Jay says that Whoopi's a great actress and terrible on The View. I would argue that everybody on The View is terrible. So, I don't know. Yeah, she's in Ghost, but I've never actually seen Ghost.
Yo, Eugenie, can you send that picture that I wanted, that you sent to me about the woman complaining about teachers? Can you send it to Johnny so I can
get
bring
worked up? So my Rosh Hashanah...
Bring the cool wrath.
My Rosh Hashanah
cool
was a little
today.
Bit different.
I'm not
different.
Getting upset today. That's my...
The cool wrath. My Rosh Hashanah was a little bit different. My daughter was with her mother, so I was alone, and I was going to be damned if I was going to be alone all by myself. So I did go out for meals, but I did my prayers at home, except for Sunday when I had to go out to hear some... They had a communal shofar blowing around, so I made sure to make it to that, which was great. And I ate a tremendous amount of incredible food, but I did take some time to look at the prayers and to actually pray.
I saw Ghost, thank you. And I also saw the movie where she coached the Knicks.
Why don't we just quickly pull up her Rotten Tomatoes and
okay.
We'll go from there.
So to continue the Rosh Hashanah, something that you might find interesting. So yesterday, I got a friend who is self-beduding right now. He's put himself into quarantine because his wife is pregnant and they don't want... There apparently have been horror stories of mothers who got tested positive for corona and they took the child and they wouldn't return the child. And whatever it is that happened, because I have not read any of these articles, this is just what I heard people say about what has happened so far. So whether it's true or not, it would freak out someone who's about to have a baby who doesn't know if it's true or not.
Right.
So they've been quarantining so they can, you know, as much as possible keep the, you know, stop the chances of her getting corona. So last night on my walk, I nailed it at exactly the right moment and ran into him while he was walking his dog. He's got this big white yapper. a big white yapper of a dog whose name is Mushu.
Mushu, like
the dragon from Mulan, right? So he's out there, and I'm like, yes. And then we like sat the 2 or 3 feet apart, meters apart, and we were chatting. And he was telling me, he goes, "Can I tell you something?" I'm like, "Of course, dude." And he's like, and this guy is non-religious, but very
traditional,
very very traditional from the stories I've been told. So he was like, "I gotta tell you something. The last few weeks here in Givat Shmuel, there have been so many minions, just like all over the buildings right here where we live." And he was like, and he says, he goes, it was really nice to see. It was really nice to see. And he goes, and in some of those ones, you know, there would be like a group downstairs and there'd be some like people like davening from their balconies. And I was wondering, are those people who specifically came to that dude's house to help him make a minion because he can't leave because he's envy dude, or is it just like they live right there and the minion's right there, so they're just davening out of the side?
It probably depends, and it's probably both.
It's probably both. But he was saying, he goes, I heard the shofar so clearly out of our window, and I'd read all about how they were just going from place to place, and I told them how my 2 daughters have been in Bidud for the last 2 weeks. My oldest daughter just got out of Bidud last night, and we just called up the city. We told them the problem. They referred us to the Beit Midrash House of Learning over here, and they just said, "What's your address?" Oh, Sababa, at 11 o'clock in front of that building, and at 11:30 behind that building, there will be a shofar blowing. Covering it.
Yeah.
It was just, and people came by to help the people who couldn't go and couldn't join the outdoor communal minions, or didn't, and it was just, it was a, I think, a real only in Israel moment.
Excellent. Well,
like
yeah.
Like a very positive. It wasn't one of those, oh my God, I was in a cab of the guy, the Arab driver who drives around the Baba Sali. Oh my God. Like, it was an actual people, just so many people.
The Arab driver who drives around the Baba Sali. Dude, the Baba Sali died like 100 years ago.
This guy's so old.
Okay, so let's look at Whoopi Goldberg's movies for a second.
His name is
Tim. And then you can go on your rant.
I have to read up on the rant.
You have to read the rant. If I have the message that you need, I will. Oh, I have the photo for you. Okay. So going through Whoopi Goldberg, her first movie that she got, I think this is where she won her Oscar and her Tony, was for The Color Purple.
What about the one? Okay, what's that, the one in the South where she plays a maid?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay. Then there's a bunch of nothing, and then...
I know that it's a very sad movie, and they sometimes try to show it at school, but...
That's an 85, by the way. Then there's Ghost.
Seen Ghost.
Soap Dish, you ever see that? The Player, Sister Act.
Soap Dish was a very good-looking... She played beside, like, a good-looking person. Who is it? Am I wrong?
I don't know. I mean, it's a movie.
Like, so the other guy in the movie.
The other guy in the movie is,
yeah,
Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
The other woman is Sally Field.
Good people. I've seen that movie.
Okay.
In the 80s, though.
Okay. Then we got... Where am I? Sister Act, Serafina, Loaded Weapon. I don't know any of these, though.
She
was in The Lion King.
You don't know Loaded Weapon?
I do, kind of.
It's the National Lampoon's cover of Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then she got good reviews. Oh, she was in Star Trek General... Oh, right, it's Guinan, obviously.
Right.
Boys on the Side.
I don't know what that one is.
I don't know what any of these would be. Associate?
It's
too soon. No, now we're up to 97. In and Out, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Cinderella... I don't know what
that's
any of
these... That's probably where she got her Tony.
A Knight in Camelot, Get Bruce. I mean, she's been in a ton of movies, and a lot of these are crap. Rat Race, there's a good one.
Okay.
No, none of
all
these.
Right,
a Very Muppet Christmas.
It's a good movie.
The Aristocrats. What? Oh, that's the one from 2005. That's not what you think it is. Yeah, no, she's... Whatever, she's awesome, but...
Good pod.
This is good pod. She's awesome, but, like, I'm not...
Can I have the picture?
She's awesome, but I'm not overwhelmed by the... Oh, wait. So now, Michael's going
to
regale us.
I haven't read it yet. Jumpin' Jack Flash was a good movie, Malia. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember liking it as a kid. By the way, just for the post with all the scariness, I should probably tell my friend that Balancin takes the baby, but Tela Shomer has a ward for corona babies with their moms.
Oh, I thought you meant, but Tela Shomer will yeet that baby into the sky.
What does yeet mean?
To, like, launch something, to just, like, yeet, and then...
I have to go back to a bunch of political cartoons. I thought it was something completely different.
Very good.
No, this is not the one from your thing, Eugenie. There we go, thank you. Okay, so here are this woman complaining about how terrible the Ministry of Education has been. Now, okay, let's just read through it. I'm reading through this for the second time. Let's do it. Johnny hasn't read it. A teacher muted the whole class.
Is it one? It's okay, do it, read the numbers. Okay. Number one.
All right, everybody, we're going to be counting down the most terrible things that teachers did. Hi-yo, here we go right now. Okay, number one, a teacher muted the whole class, including himself. He blocked the chat so the kids couldn't even tell him if he was muted, and he continued to teach muted for a full hour. What a scumbag! What a scumbag, everybody.
Wait. Okay, let's stop. Let's discuss that for a second. Who's writing this post?
Some mom who's complaining.
Is this here from here in Israel?
I don't know.
Okay. Did the teacher just make a mistake and screwed up?
Probably.
Okay, what a scumbag. Next, number two.
I mean, there's no real way to know, is it? Though, if you're ever in a problem, you could basically do such a thing where you just go, oh my god, I have nothing to teach, put everybody on mute, except they all have my cell phone numbers, you know, so
they just, that wouldn't work. They just put in a WhatsApp.
Yeah, and you would just, like, mute yourself and then just go like this for 45 minutes.
I don't have that kind of patience, do you?
For a good joke? For a good, harmless joke?
What are you, Andy Kaufman? Like, that's not a... That's a lot of dedication.
That's your problem, Johnny. You need to buckle down.
I'm not that guy.
So if you had, like, if the soap bottles that you had put in the fountain at Bar Ilan, if they had just been too heavy, you just would have given up halfway?
Definitely. No, I don't think so, because I was there with...
I want to have a challenge for you.
What?
Okay, here's our challenge. I don't know who's listening in right now to the show, but here's my challenge to you. The next time we're all in a social setting, I want you to start telling a really long story, okay? Just get everyone's attention, start telling a story, halfway through just go, you know what, this story's way too long, screw it, and then just stop. Just do it, just stop, give up.
I don't have that in me. I would like...
Then you can quarter it!
It would leave me without closure.
You can tell me later. You can tell me the rest of the story later.
You know all my stories.
Well, that's why...
No, but the thing is about the fountains and the soap is that I was doing it with somebody who... I mean, a lot of things that we did when we were kids was stuff like, that's a terrible idea. When do we leave? Like... Let's do it immediately.
What happened to that, Johnny?
What happened to that?
What happened to that, Johnny?
I became a parent.
What does that have to do with anything?
I have things.
Yeah, because I'm not.
Whatever. I just don't.
We need to break because it doesn't hurt anybody.
But then it's not fun. Okay. Oh, if I'm not breaking the law, then what good is a prank?
I didn't say a prank, but you know, I'd like to buy a piece of glass, set it up. Put some, like, sheets down, set it up nicely, and then throw rocks at it, because it's cool to break windows.
No, we'll just smash a bottle.
Okay. But I don't want to leave a mess.
So put it in three plastic bags, and then drop it on the floor.
Go to a wedding and smash a plate.
You know what? I heard that in weddings, if you, like, get up there right as the chatan is about to smash the glass, and you smash it instead, I think that's, like, a big segula for you. You just, like, get up there and be like, I'll handle it.
That was something we heard from our rabbi here at Tangent Podcast, Rabbi
Pinsky Heimel. You almost forgot his name.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a while since he's spoken to us, but just recently one of his nephews got married, and he told his other son to break the glass first.
Because it was a corona wedding, so the chassan couldn't even go to the wedding. So they had to have somebody stand in for him. So his son did everything for him.
Yeah.
Also, the wedding night, by the way.
He was in Bidud for 2 weeks in the Cheder Yichud, just waiting.
Just waiting the whole time.
What? It's the safest place to be.
Fantastic. That's
just
fantastic.
Minimizes all time.
Number two.
Oh, that's right, boys. Let's get right back into it then.
So we had a scumbag teacher who made a mistake, moving right along.
By the way, when you mute kids' chats and you mute them, it's probably because they will not shut up. That's first of all. Number two, a class of 12th grade boys now has almost perfect attendance because it's so entertaining to watch the teacher try and operate Zoom that it's more fun to watch than to not show up.
That sounds suspiciously like one of what my classes would have been like. We had a teacher in 9th and 10th grade. She loved every single class she ever taught in the history of my school, except for mine. And she would not have known how to operate Zoom, and it would have been hilarious.
So let me give you the different perspective. Let me give you another point of view. Here's this poor woman who's been a teacher for 35 years. She's ready to retire. She planned on retiring last year, but at the last minute she said, I can't leave the classroom. It's so amazing. And in what was supposed to be her last year of glory, she's now spending it fragilely over computer, unsure of herself, not knowing smoothly. It's like she's
all
finishing
right, first of all,
off
if
as
she
if,
was
like,
going to retire at the end of last school year,
and she
decides, you know what I want to do is teach in another pandemic year.
No, but she had already signed on.
At the end of 2020?
We started in school on September 1st, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We did. We started in school, and I hope she never hears this particular episode.
She's dead. Stop.
She lives down the block.
Oh, the one I was talking about is probably.
Yeah, no. I actually heard that her children listen to Tangent Podcast, that lady.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not going to say her name, because if she's alive, Billy, that's not a good idea.
Oh,
okay,
Billy.
Number
three. A teacher tells kids that the worksheet is a race and whoever finishes first wins.
Okay.
Oh my god, how terrible.
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
That the teacher didn't tell the kids that it's not about finishing it, it's about going through it and working through it and understanding it. And it's okay if you don't get to the end as long as you do a good job.
Isn't it funny how like the worst parents would get offended by something like that? I don't know, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's fine, moving right along. Number four!
A teacher, by the way, I would never say this to a class, that it's a race.
No, for sure not.
I actually, the other thing is what I actually do.
Take your time.
I do my take the time, but I do it in that parent voice where, come on, guys, I know, like coach, like, I can do it, coach, you guys can do it, I believe in you. And they're just like all feeling guilty that I want them to succeed so bad, so they just do it. And that one works too. A teacher tells a student, shut your fucking mouth.
That's a problem.
That it does seem to be a problem, though I am wondering if this was in English or in Hebrew. And what the word the teacher...
Stometa fucking pet? Like...
Right, so no, so that's what I'm saying. Is this effing an actual F-bomb of a drop of the teacher? Or is it a translation in Hebrew, you know, into English from whatever the teacher said?
What's that?
Also, by the way, they do actually say tiston ta fucking pe.
Really?
Yeah, that's a
tiston
thing that's
tiston et ta fucking pe.
Yeah, that's
first
something
of all,
that's actually said.
That's amazing. Second of all, number five! How many numbers are there?
There are seven.
Okay, number five.
Number five, a teacher logs in. By the way, so many spelling mistakes here. Anyway, a teacher log in and tell the kids to do pages 4 to 56 without an explanation or a moment of teaching.
That doesn't sound right. 4 to 56?
I mean, if like, have you seen your daughter's math books?
That's at least 12 pages of work.
Isn't that 16 pages of work?
16 pages? Probably more than that.
40 to 56.
Oh, I thought you said 4 to 56.
No, 40 to 56.
I'm trying
to follow your math. I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, 40 to 56.
But obviously, Did the teacher do that?
Yes, my daughter's math book has like 5 problems on every page.
That's right. Yes, you know, yes. And if you have a 45-minute lesson, and today is Tir Gul. Why? Because sometimes what happens is...
I like that you called it a Tir Gul when it's a Targil.
Is it?
But Tir Gul is a good word.
That is a word. Osim Tir Gulim. Oh. Exercises.
But then what's a Targil?
It is one specific exercise. Oh, but the Tir Gul is... the process of doing it.
Oh, okay, I'm wrong. My bad. Go ahead.
Okay, I could be wrong too, but I'm a teacher, so...
And you know Hebrew a little better than I do.
Okay, so what's the problem here? Perhaps, and this is extremely possible, that in the last lesson the teacher explained all of it and didn't give the kids homework because nobody's giving homework to anybody, and then going afterwards and going, okay, this is what we did last week, go.
My daughter has homework. So, lucky she has people to help her with it that aren't me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Because math is impossible.
First of all, I don't know Hebrew.
Are you a mather? Like, do percentages scare you?
I mean, I can do like some basic arithmetic, but no, I'm not good at math. If I was good at math, you think I'd work in marketing? Shit.
I'd
be like a job that paid even better, Mark.
When I first met Ellie, she's like, yeah, I'm not good at math either. That apparently meant that she got like a 80 in calculus.
I couldn't pass calculus.
I got an incomplete
in calculus, and the dean at YU took mercy on me and let me withdraw from the class as if I had never been in it.
That was very nice.
It didn't harm my GPA.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact story with her and what it was that she got, but. When I found out later, I had, interestingly enough, many years after we got married, a brand new perspective on who my wife was, because I was fine with what she said, because in her mind it was true. She doesn't believe she's good at math.
Right.
I also don't believe I'm good at math.
But your levels of belief are very different.
We're playing different math games.
Right.
Her game is an advanced level 3D HDR technology. I'm playing on the Commodore 64.
She's playing in the NFL, and you're playing Tiddlywinks. Yes, I understand.
Number six, 8,765 WhatsApp messages that are all different versions of, can you please send the link, or the password is not working, or can you please tell the teacher to let my son in from the virtual waiting room? Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially for little kids. Like, for my 7-year-old, Link's coming in, my kid doesn't have a phone, so she has to have... I mean, in Narayan, our school, there are links. You want to tell that story? That they send you the link for the whole day or for the whole week ahead of time, so your Zoom meetings are scheduled days in advance.
Day of, but yeah.
By the way, for any of you out there who are workers, etc., and you have Zoom problems, and sometimes you need a password, sometimes you just clicked it wrong because your computer's your stupid face. You just need to click it again, and then you don't need a password.
Malia says that she hated fractions until I became a pothead. I'd say the exact opposite is true for me. Next.
Hold on, I wanted to read...
God bless Malia's grandma.
That is so nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I second the notion. Okay, either way, just have a little patience. Motherfucker, have a little patience for these teachers who have learned a brand new skill that was never anything that we needed to do in our lives. And we don't have to do it once a day or once a week. We're doing it fucking 7 hours a day.
And by the way, parents, I had this thought the other day, like... maybe you guys should have only had one child, then got divorced, and share custody, you idiots. Like, what were you thinking, staying married in your committed and happy relationships? Meaning,
fuck does that have to do
meaning
with Vietnam?
It's easy for me to deal with my daughter's random issues because I have one daughter.
Oh, so what you're saying is you're not in a position to tell
I'm not in a position to tell teachers off, but I am also not in a position to tell other parents off. I have one child. She's 9. She's almost a little bit self-sufficient. And she has a program that she can go to while the school is closed because she's in a program that's like a mental health thing and she's allowed to be in it.
So in that case, what I would like to point out is, again, you must have patience for the teachers, okay? Again, first of all, it's true. They have to deal with all of your kids, and they cannot control them. How much good can we do from behind a camera in disciplining or being a part of any idea like that? Have a little patience. Our kids' school is extremely organized. That's great for our kids. They click on the blue words. They click on the blue words. They click on the blue words. It opens up the meetings. We set alarms to go off when all the kids' lessons are so they don't miss them. We do a little help. But if your kid's school sucks and they keep sending the messages one at a time, that's terrible and that sucks and I'm sorry. But if your kid is in fifth grade or sixth grade or etc. up, your kid shouldn't need your help for the link. The kids should wait patiently for the link to be sent or to wait patiently to be let in. If they're not let in, perhaps they didn't log in on time so the teacher missed them once they finally started teaching. So maybe your kids should be better fucking students. Why would the teacher miss one kid who needs to be let back in? Why that one kid? Where was that one kid when everybody else was let in?
I don't know. Where maybe do you that, think maybe that one kid's an a-hole and the teacher's just like, you know what?
I have heard from first...
hand.
First-hand
experience.
There are assholes who are students.
And they're assholes who are teachers.
And adults.
And adults. And they're adults. Human beings. Oh, yeah. Every human being has the capability to be
I asked both. The student, why haven't you been to the Zoom lessons in weeks? He's like, well, I didn't go to history because the last time I was there, I got up to get a drink of water and he kicked me out of class. So I didn't go back. And I was like, That sucks. I said, that sucks. I said, that sounds terrible, but I know that you're new to my class. I just want you to know that not everybody's as cool as I am. And I was like, and you know what? They don't have to be. Everybody teaches at their pace, which makes them comfortable. And you should know already that the history teacher is extremely strict. So bring a bottle. Have your stuff with you at your table. You shouldn't have to get up. Right. But me... you know you can be a little bit more relaxed with me because that's how I roll and I'm comfortable as a teacher like that. But other people don't have to be. You have to get used to working with who you have to work with. That's a skill that you need in life. And I told him to grow up.
Yeah, good.
I've met this kid twice in my life.
Okay, number 7. Is there one more? Did we get to the last one?
This is not my phone.
No, you can't open your my phone.
We still have more stuff to talk about, which I'm super excited
number
about.
Number 7. My idiot son animated a cucumber as his profile picture for a full 10 minutes without anyone saying anything. I finally stopped him because I was horrified. Okay.
That kind of sounds
like...
that
has nothing to do with your teacher, the teacher at all.
It's the teach. Why wasn't the teacher watching
all
40?
Eugene says yes in Israel.
Why would the teacher not be watching all 40 students simultaneously and have to notice that somebody's like, your idiot son? Fuck you. Fuck your idiot son. Why are you blaming the teacher?
Your idiot son is the man, and your idiot son is doing what all teenage children should be doing, and that is punishing their educators for trying to educate them. That's the role of a teenager, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm saying this because, and I'm at the dangerous point where my daughter is 9, and she's closer to being a teenager than she is to having been a toddler. And those days are coming when I'm going to be punished as a parent for trying to discipline her. Actually, to be completely honest with you, those days are already here. But the point is that it seems normal for a teenager to make a funny picture and to put a picture up.
So I would say that while we have many different kinds of kids, we have kids, none of us really have kids that are mischievous. We don't have any of those kids anymore.
Our friend group, our children?
I'm talking about students that I meet on a daily basis. People that
kids
I meet.
Kids are too lazy to be mischievous.
They don't care.
Right.
Either you have kids who care, and those kids don't have care. Those are the kids that are taking notes, listening, participating, and trying, and even if it's hard, they're still looking at you. And then there are the kids who don't care, who just are talking, or are sleeping, or are doing something else.
We tried to live
our lives...
But
none of them were like, haha, let's commit mischief.
So we tried to live our lives like we were in an episode of The Little Rascals.
I think that's why I'm constantly sometimes... like, rebuffed by you, and it bothers me so much.
Because I had a different experience.
Because you've hyped me up on your own legends, And then I'm like, hey, this sounds like something Johnny's done before, and then you don't want to do it.
Well, I'm an adult now.
You're an adult?
The thing that I like to do that
you're
has to
an adult?
The thing that I like to do that has that's still kid-like is that I still love buying toys. That's the main thing that I like to do. Don't read that out loud. Thank you. Okay, so that's amazing, and the kids are terrible, and everybody's terrible, and this is a miserable time, and we're all a mess, and
just,
I'm sorry.
Just have a little patience. Have a little patience.
Some Nobody has patience.
Some of our children's teachers were given their very first computer last year when this pandemic started. Wow, they didn't grow up with them. They're not naturals with them. They're not reflexive. It's some of these teachers are new, or some of them are really old. Just, like, have a little bit of mercy. Nobody chose this.
Right.
We're doing our best. The teachers are still doing their best, despite the fact that it sucks more. It's hard for everyone. You're acting like an asshole on Facebook. Your teachers are not. They're just doing as good of a job as they can with what they have. And sometimes they lose their patience. But you're not any better because you're putting this on Facebook.
Right. You know who was better, though?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I was so close.
So, sadly, a giant of...
a great segue, Johnny.
A giant of American history, if you want to call her that, one of the greats. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away.
Johnny's gonna tell. Johnny's
no, no,
talking.
Don't build it up like I've got some.
No,
kind
no, no,
of...
no, no, no. I don't know enough about this woman at all, other than I've heard of her. They made a movie about her. Women love her. Men who say that they love women love her. Some people actually just love her, but she's. I don't know exactly the reasons why. I know she made some changes, but I'm about to learn some new stuff. So hopefully you guys.
All right,
will
so
too.
I've just got some like facts about her that hopefully she learned a lot from her mother, even though her mother died when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was very young and didn't get to see the heights to which she rose. But she learned a lot from her from the trials that her mother faced and also that she faced early on in her career. Like for example,
what kind of trials
she,
did her
she,
mother
she,
face?
Her mother was just like a woman in the 30s or 40s or whatever. So it was just times weren't great for women back then. But also, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for example, when she graduated from law school, she was top of her class at... She transferred from Harvard to Columbia. She was top of her class, and she couldn't get a job. And she was in this carpool. It was something about like this carpool she used to do with a very famous legalist, this guy named Learned Hand. That is a real person. Learned Hand. He was like a big-time legal mind in the 20th century, early half of the 20th century.
That's awesome.
And he didn't want to hire Ruth Bader Ginsburg because he didn't want to have to curtail his cussing around her, and he didn't feel comfortable cursing around women. But they ended up carpooling together, and one day she asked him, like, why are you okay cussing around me in the car, but you wouldn't, like, hire me? And he was like, as far as I'm concerned, you're not even, like, in the car. Like, he didn't even think of her as, like, being in the car with them. She was so low compared to this guy that he's just like, it's like she wasn't even there. She and her husband very much had a marriage of equality, which is something that she talked about a lot.
Pause. Jeremy asks, What decision opinions did you like from when she was on the USSC?
I don't know what the USSC is.
And I don't know what a USSC
and
does.
I don't know what it does. So the answer to your question is, I don't know.
Could you give us
but
a very
I'm
small...
But I'm sure because she's liberal, you're going to have something to say about that.
I'd
Next.
Like to know, Jay.
Next. She was considered the Thurgood Marshall of the women's movement in a way that she would pick cases... That were... No, I'm sorry. I didn't read this thoroughly enough. So
oh,
I'm not
was
doing
she terrible?
No, of course not.
You're like, and then, in that day, she stepped on a puppy's head and... Oh, no.
Oh, United States Supreme Court.
United States Supreme Court.
I thought USS... I thought USSC was like a college. Like
in
the University
our defense,
of
we don't live in
South,
the United States. I mean,
South...
I
Carolina.
Thought it was a military thing.
The University of South Southern Carolina.
South Southern Carolina, is that, does Arnheim David Chaim go there?
Chaim, David Chaim does go there. He actually was a walk-on for their football team and almost made it to the NFL.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Chaim.
Wait, so what? Okay, so Jake, please tell me what it is that happened on the U.S. Supreme Court with her. Which decisions are you talking about so we can talk about
it? She was obviously a huge admirer of Sandra Day O'Connor, who was the first woman ever on the Supreme Court.
Okay. So what is she famous for? What did she do that has changed lives?
I don't know anything about her rulings. I just wanted to know about the woman herself.
Okay, I mean, but I could have guessed that she was a firecracker and a brilliant mind and...
Yeah, all that.
When people talk about her, I think about my grandma. My farmer?
Yeah, your grandma was a strong, independent woman.
Tiny, well, like, from all the pictures, it looked like she was very small. Yeah. My grandmother was kind of like the same way. She was the head of the biology department in the University of Gothenburg, and she was 4'7". She was so small.
She relished in her reputation as the great dissenter. Here's a quote.
That's right, she did, my grandmother.
In disagreeing with their colleagues at the time they served among them, these legendary jurists anticipated every core development of 20th century judicial law, the dismantling of Jim Crow segregation, the protection of free speech, and the allowance of economic recognition. And she always spoke up whenever she saw something that she felt was regressive and not progressive. She did color code her collars that she wore because men in the robes were designed for men to be able to have a tie, so she wouldn't wear a tie as a woman, so she had these collars that she would wear based on
She had good stuff.
She had good stuff.
Okay, so I have a cool story to tell. So what I've been doing recently is just because I get all of my my liberal filtered news through social media. So I've been going to just watch Fox News clips, just to get the other side, to see what's going on the other side, how they're talking about the same thing. It's so much fun. In the sense that every side is spinning the same decision from such a completely different perspective. I was watching a bit about, what's his face? Bill Maher, right?
Yeah, so Bill Maher, science guy, right?
No, come on. So Bill Maher, the HBO talk show political guy.
Real time with Bill Maher,
right? Stop it. So he has some guests on, and they're finally back in the studio. Like, now they're in the studio. He's been in his garden for the last 5 months doing his whole show from his house.
Nice.
But now he's back in the studio. And they're talking, and all of a sudden a woman comes out and hands Bill Maher a note, and he goes, we've just been notified that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away. And then immediately one of the panelists goes, whoa, that means the Republicans, Mitch McConnell's going to be, and they didn't. And then
even talk about her.
And they spoke about her for 5 seconds. Now, here's why I think a lot of people didn't talk about her immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same way that you went, powerful woman, feminist, awesome, she's amazing. Everybody knows that about her. I know that about her, but I don't know, like Jay's saying, that I don't know a single thing that she's actually done. Now, I know for a fact that we have friends who know stuff that she's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't know, and I think that at a moment's notice, most talk show hosts couldn't immediately go, let's try to remember the 1973, like, oh, whatever, you know.
Well, in general, I like her because I like strong women who don't take no shit.
You also tend to like strong people that don't
take no shit. I like strong people who don't take no shit.
And dress
and I like
well.
People, and I like people,
and dress
I like,
well.
I like people who make uptight people uncomfortable.
Oh, so wow, I actually answered Jay's question. He said, I'm not talking about anything specific, I'm just asking what she did in the Supreme Court that makes you like her.
Also, apparently she and Antonin Scalia were like really good friends in their personal lives, which I like, I think is cute.
Yeah, but if she was such a good person, that means that she could get along with someone, you know, that she had so much more infinite patience than the people who are mourning her right now, meaning they think she's such a wonderful woman, but no one is attempting to emulate anything of what she was as a person. Do you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Sababa, so that means you agree with her because she followed your politics, but she was agreeing with your politics in a world where people acted like her, not like you. Right. Fuck.
Right.
But now she seems to be like the biggest. What's the mensch of a woman? Is there a mensch for women?
Oh, that's an excellent. I would not a maidle.
A menschite?
A menschite?
I don't know.
A menschus?
Anybody help us out here? A polite woman? Is there a Yiddish word for that?
I don't know.
Maybe there doesn't need to be, and that's why there isn't one. There.
Oh, very good.
Thumb of the year, by the way, in a Zoom lesson today. It was great.
But that leaves an open spot on the bench.
Wait. I want to talk about that. I really do, but I'm not finished talking
okay,
about...
Okay, go ahead.
Right? So, again, Jay, I don't know what she did, but she seemed like a good person, and Eishes Chayil.
Yeah.
Eishes Chayil, that's awesome. Thank you. I don't know what she did. She didn't do a lot on the SC, but she was a very good jurist, and true to what she believed prior to the SC, she was very influential, though. I'm glad she was influential. She seems like a powerful person. She seemed like somebody who was doing good shit and was a good person, and
she
now she's
like
gone,
somebody,
so we have less
she seemed
good.
Like, she seemed like
we
somebody
have less good now.
That we have very few of these days who you can look up to and admire and feel good about it.
Preach.
Because there seem to be fewer and fewer and fewer of those these days.
And speaking of... Wait,
no,
can
no,
I do
no,
this
no.
one?
What?
Can I do the segue into the bench thing whenever you do it?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
What bench thing?
That's who's going to fill the
okay,
spot.
Okay, go do it.
Oh, are you ready for
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
okay, what did we just say? We just said...
There's not a lot of
speaking
good people.
Of, there's not a lot of good... Speaking of not a lot of good people, you know who's not a lot of good people? Take it away!
No, but that's the thing. Like... So
I don't know. I have no idea.
Now the...
No, not a maidle.
Now,
a maidle
President,
is
President Trump
I
hasn't
feel.
Announced yet who he's going to pick to... To take the spot, but obviously.
But Mitch McConnell has been.
I mean, Mitch McConnell says like by hook or crook, we're gonna get somebody in before the election anyway.
That's what I was talking about.
Well, it's
the Fox News thing. They were talking. Okay, go.
What
go,
Fox News thing?
Right. So everyone's been talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the right. So I wanted to see what they were talking about. Who's the big guy, the main guy now on Fox?
Tucker Carlson.
So watching Tucker Carlson. And I had seen a video that said, look at the big deal the left is making out of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a Tucker Carlson video. But I clicked on the wrong square and then it jumped. And when it came back, it had this video about filling people
so
in on the bench.
He's so deeply unpleasant as a human being.
But here's the thing. I remember our episode of Tangent when they were talking about the guy that Obama wanted to put in.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And if something was going to happen to Obama, and then all the Republicans were saying...
What's his name? Brett Abernathy?
I don't remember. That's not the important
no,
part of
it.
The story. What they were saying was... How dare the president try to do that? It's not constitutional. It's only a month away from the
election.
And
now they're doing the same thing. I know.
So I know that's all posted out there, but it's amazing to see it on his face while he's saying it, even though he himself said it. And he's like, there are many precedents for this exact thing. Dude, your words last time were there were. He's counting in his precedents the one that he had been against when Obama did it.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's
with
politics.
The straightest face.
That's
and
politics.
The left, they want to bring down the whole system. Throughout the whole thing, they're just quoting Nancy Pelosi talking about the fact that she wants to burn down the system. And they're like, well, we could impeach Donald Trump every day of the week. And then someone's like, why don't you? And she's like, well. And he's like, they want to destroy us. They want to destroy everything that we have. They want to destroy the system as we know it. And then they hear it going, I want to burn it all down. And they just keep replaying that clip of Nancy Pelosi going, I want to burn it all to the ground. And it's just like, wow, there are billions of people out there who are just like, oh my God, we have to stop the evil Democrats. They're all Nazi zombie vampires.
Right.
And then on
but
the
then
left...
the other side is the same
And
thing.
The other side is like,
they're
oh,
all
those
racist.
Yokels. Those yokels.
They're all No, the right are the ones who are the racist Nazis.
Yeah,
the
racist
left
Nazis.
Are, the left are... The left
werewolves.
Are, oh, werewolves. Excellent. I don't get it. Okay, so
hair,
so they did... They did release some of the list of some people. I think that there's basically two people who are... set to potentially...
Merrick Garland. Is that what you said?
He was, but he didn't make it in.
No, but that was the guy that Obama, that was the Obama
then,
nominee.
Then Brett McFarlane, or whatever his name is.
Brett McFarvin.
Yeah, something like that. So basically, there's two people who I think it's going to be one of these two people, right? There's Amy Coney Barrett, who is, for all intents and purposes, a Brett Kavanaugh. Thank you. Jeez Louise. She is a really remarkable woman. She's a tremendous jurist. She's got a bunch of experience. She's
a Republican. She's
very, 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 very Catholic. But she's got like this family with biological kids, one of whom has Down syndrome, and she knew about it, and she carried the child to term anyway. They have two adopted kids. Like, she's a really admirable person, and I would have no problem with her being the next just, except for the fact that her views on abortion are very right-wing. Right?
They're not very right-wing. They are very different than yours.
She definitely is going to try to get... I don't know that she's going to... People want to tell you that she's going to try to get Roe versus Wade overthrown. I don't think that that's the case. But she will definitely try to get abortion defunded and not be able to... not be covered by abortions won't be covered by health insurance and stuff like that. So that's kind of scary because I think women's health is very important.
So what's the name of this woman?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Okay.
Okay. The other one who I like a lot is her name is Barbara Lagoa. She's Cuban American. Her parents fled Castro, so she's like a great one of those rags to riches kind of stories. Again, an amazing person, a great legal background, and she. What's interesting about her is that when she was elected to the Court of Appeals 11th Circuit, she actually had rare bipartisan support, meaning that she had a bunch of Democrats also were into her being on the bench, which means that they'll never pick her because they don't want anybody that has that kind of support. But I think that if I was going to pick somebody, I would pick her. I think
she's
great.
Those are the worst stories when people talk about, like, hey, what do you think about this guy? Oh, he's great. Oh, he's wonderful. Oh, yeah, he's a very respectable person. And then they're like, oh, your opposition has chosen that guy to be their nominee. That guy's the worst. Like, you've actually said without any connection that he's a wonderful person. Sometimes just let America win.
Right.
Not you. Let America win. Give us the good guy. If he's good, just give him to us.
So my vote goes for Barbara Lagoa, but I have a feeling it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett. President Trump
says
a few years ago.
Something.
This is no business being a federal. Oh, no, okay, that's fine. I don't mind it not being a federal issue, but I still want women's health to be important. Anyway. So, we're going to end the episode in a few minutes. I just want to talk to you about something else. That's enough of the heaviness for tonight. I just wanted to point out something. As all of you know, because we've talked about it 1,000 times, I'm doing the 1,001 song challenge, 1,001 album challenge. I'm up to 1991. I'm 700 albums, and I added a ton of albums. A friend of mine showed me a list of other great albums, and anything that was from 1991 and on, I added, so I have a bunch of like new pop and stuff.
I started
that I'm
listening
in.
To music in 1990.
Right.
Is when I started.
So,
listening.
But what I notice is that people, you know, do they talk about years of music or whatever it is? Okay. 1991 was a phenomenal year for music, okay? And I just want to go through a little bit of these, a little bit of albums. I don't know what order it's in. It's not everything that was on my list, but the ones that matter the most, okay? And somewhere I put on there just for you.
Okay.
At least one is on there just for you. For example, Cypress Hill's first album
Black
came out
Sunday.
In 91. No, Cypress Hill.
Oh, okay.
Pretty All good right. album. Pretty good. Pretty entertaining. Okay.
It's not, but Black Sunday's not on there? The one with Insane in the Membrane?
That's not from 1991.
But is it on the list?
I don't think so.
Then that's not fair and you should listen to it.
Maybe I will. Okay, so The Low End Theory by A Tribe Called Quest came out
awesome.
That year. That has your song Scenario.
With
Famous
Busta
for
Rhymes.
That album being, by the way, Busta Rhymes has another appearance on the record also, very brief.
Like a cameo.
Yeah,
just like
a
little,
yeah, like a little thing. But they introduce him, and that's where we know Busta Rhymes from that album. But it's also
what was
on
he
its
doing,
own,
I wonder, before he
probably
made it
probably rapping
in
crews
like
all around New York, yeah.
And they're like, yo, you gotta see this guy, he's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy and amazing, yeah, okay. Amazing. Boyz II Men's second album came out that year.
With Motown Philly?
No, that's the one that had I'll Make Love To You, that had that song, which was
Motown Philly.
Which, by the way, I'll Make Love To You is probably the worst song on that album.
I'm pretty sure I have
but
that,
that album. But that album is amazing.
Hold on, I'm pretty sure I have this album.
Two?
By no, the Boyz II Men with that one. Hold on, you keep going.
Okay. It's like Southern Philly high music.
I know.
Okay.
It's super high, really funky.
What's interesting also about these albums from 1991 is even if you haven't heard of them, a lot of them like launch genres, okay?
Right.
Massive Attack, Blue Lines, all right?
That's the one with...
That's
the face?
What? That's the one with...
Massive Attack? That's with the...
No, that's Mezzanine. That's from 97, 98.
Damn it!
But Massive Attack's album Blue Lines kind of set the blueprint for trip hop music,
okay,
which was a humongous success throughout the 90s and until today. Okay? Metallica put out their album Metallica, which was a quantum leap into more commercial sounds, but still was heavy and still is a super sweet and awesome and amazing album. Okay? Dangerous by Michael Jackson came out that year.
I was the first CD I ever bought.
Michael, I have bad news for you. I didn't love it.
You're a terrible person.
Not as much as I liked Bad and Off the Wall
and Thriller. No, I disagree.
I think I actually liked Bad. I liked Bad and Thriller the best.
Okay. First of all, Slash is performing on right?
Yeah.
Jam is amazing. Keep It in the Closet. Remember the Time. Who
it
is
wasn't
it?
Bad. I just
Heal
wasn't...
the World.
I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
It's just so many hits.
Okay. My Bloody Valentine's album Loveless, which is basically the blueprint for what became shoegaze music and eventually morphed into the Britpop,
right,
scene a couple years later. Then, Nevermind by Nirvana, which basically was the blueprint for grunge. 10 by Pearl Jam, which is another blueprint for grunge music.
One of the greatest albums of all time.
Excellent. It's so good. It's so good.
Absolutely.
Then Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears. I threw that on because of how much I love it. Then Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, an epic one that gives rap rock, rap metal, leads to all kinds of other styles of music. Then you've got Arise by Sepultura and Achtung Baby by U2.
Yeah, that was also pretty good.
What an incredible year for music. Are you still looking
here
for this?
Here's Michael Jackson's Dangerous.
Michael Jackson's Dangerous.
Yep.
In CD form. Very cool album cover. I looked up the artist. He makes incredible art. I'm not going to look up his name now. And that, Michael, I'm going to end the show, so please come.
Wait a minute, what about all the Corona stuff?
Oh, fuck the Corona stuff. Nobody gives a shit about that.
You don't care about our lockdown?
I don't care about our lockdown. I want to go not be locked down.
Okay.
So that's going to do it for us here on episode 9 of season...
I just want to point out that in your favorite interviewer of all time... Nardwar, the human serviette, was talking with Pharrell Williams, and he goes, "Oh, Pharrell, did it really start with you, with the rump shaker, with Rex and Effect?" And he goes, "Man, this is the greatest interview of my life."
But that's
rump this album.
Rump shaker is the first. By the way, executive producer Teddy Riley. We could do a whole episode.
This was
about
the first
Teddy
album
Riley.
That. What did he do on it? What did Pharrell do on it?
I think he was one of the performing artists.
He was on this album? We should totally look that up.
But anyway, we're going to look this up later. We're going to end the show also. That's going to do it for us here on episode 9 of season 7 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Have an easy, fast, and an emotionally uplifting Yom Kippur. We'll check in with you in a couple of weeks.
Be kind to your teachers.
Share, like, and subscribe. Tell your friends. Okay, bye.
Peace out, everybody.